This is the essential point of the Buckoff season.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway on the east side. Don't worry, drive Curry. They are family owned since 1960, and that means a lot. General Manager Sean Sullivan, he's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you. He's also got the largest service department anywhere, and 100 loaner vehicles for you, and the best service department on top of that. You need a new vehicle? Check out their website today, BillCurryFord.com. The 2024 models must go to make room for new inventory, and they've got so many offers. New 2020 Ford F-150 XLTs and the STX models, up to $10,000 off MSRP, or 3.9% APR financing available. We'll mention some other deals that they have later in the podcast, but Bill Curry Ford is where you want to start shopping. Transparent pricing. The Curry family does so much in the community. They're even open Sunday now for express service. They make everything so convenient. And reach out to Sean directly. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. He wants to help every Bucks fan as best he can. And you can reach out to him, ask him any question you want about the vehicles, the car business, what's a smart lease direction, whatever it is, BillCurryFord.com.
That's absurd. That is unacceptable. And you know who agrees with that? Bulls. What the hell's going on out there, Bulls?
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richey, the water damage whisperer himself, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. It's Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Sage, you like your new nickname, the water damage whisperer?
Is there an over and under on how many nicknames you're going to give me, Steve? At some point, it's going to take up the whole podcast. You can't do that.
Well, do you like it or not? What do you think?
It doesn't have a ring to it. I kind of prefer the Titan of Tragedy.
Oh, that ain't too bad. By the way, I'm going to start this podcast off in fine manner over here. Because when I got home in the wee hours of the morning, and I'm talking about 3 a.m. on Monday morning, little Cosmo greeted me at the door.
Took a leak?
No. He stuck his paw out for me to shake it, and then he had a question. What the hell's Cone doing with that jet sweep? What, is he crazy? So everybody's into Buck football right now.
Sage, the water damage whisperer, of course, refers to Florida's elite restoration.
Which is a tragedy if you need them.
I knew you liked that. Water damage whisperer. Well, they are the kings of water damage, fire damage, storm damage, flood, which, of course, is water damage. But they're there for you 24-7. That's really the key because you can't play games. Like, you can't call timeout and come back next week. You got to
kick mold in the ass. That's what you got to do, Steve.
There you go. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That's their website. They're a local company, but they service the whole Tampa Bay area and across the state on I-4. Whatever you need, call them 24-7. Owner Josh Martin, he is local. Your buddy, our buddy here, he's ready to help Bucks fans with a $500 discount. So that means when you call them, you mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan, and after they give you an evaluation of your property with all the top technology, after they do that and you decide if you want to go forward with them to repair your property, restore your property, work with your insurance company, battle all that corporate nonsense, then you're going to get $500. Maybe that's cash for your deductible or just cash back. They're the kings. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
I have a better title than this whisperer of wet walls or whatever. The Monsignor of Mold.
It's not bad. Like,
that's a good one.
We'll add that to the podcast.
We'll run that by Josh at Florida's Elite Restoration, the Monsignor of Mold.
By the way, I don't know where he got his crew from, but it's a hell of a crew. They're really efficient and effective.
Well, he hires them, and it's a family-owned business, so that's very important. Just like Bill Curry Ford, family-owned, Curry family since 1960, Ira. That's a serious family business. All right.
Speaking of crews, let's talk about the crew at One Buck.
Yeah,
please,
we're
Steve.
A family business, too, here. not all those years.
Our families depend on us.
All right, Sage, look. We hit in the last podcast, we just gave a little emotional quick reaction to the Bucks game. We had our say, and now we're here to dive in a little bit deeper, talk a little bit about the future. And, of course, we got a lot of podcasts coming up because the Ira Kaufman podcast doesn't sleep. So I want to run this past you, Ira, real quick. John Gruden, who works for Barstool Sports, he was asked about the game.
And he's still a Buck fan, a big Buck fan.
Big Buck fan. He refers to the Bucks as we. And his take on the game, now you got the important thing is you got to include the frustrated, angry Gruden in your head. and his take on the game, hearing about the Bucs defense, people complaining about
it. I've seen the frustrated Gruden close up.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. You know him personally, yeah.
So he said, I am just disgusted. Failing to hand the ball off on your own 12-yard line, you deserve to lose. And then it's third and one. You try to get – and he was getting all sarcastic. You try to get tricky with some kind of hard count. You lose yards. It costs you another 4 points. We let that game go. We just gave it away. We knew the Bucs had to score more than 20, which is a very fair argument. This defense was never going to win with 20 points. This isn't 19.
And Washington scores points.
Yeah, this isn't 1995. Washington was averaging 26 points a game. As Gruden said, we had 2 fourth-down stops the Buccaneer defense had. The Bucs defense did what they had to do to win the football game. You got to be, then he's like, you got to be able to hand it off. Is it that hard? Could you get under the center and hand the freaking ball off? He was going off. Can you snap it on a hard count or on one this point in the season? He was just sick about the offense and the details and the failures there. And he didn't throw a lot of dirt on the defense or any dirt, which I understand. I don't agree with it. But what are your thoughts there now that we're a few days away?
Well, you could look at it like this, Lee. I mean, you could. You could boil the game down to 3 plays. And they all came on offense. You could. One was the fumble, the muffed handoff. I don't know who's to blame. I'm not going to blame Cohn for calling a jet sweep, and then they screw up the jet sweep. I'm not going to blame Cohn for that.
They screw up the handoff.
I'm not going to blame Cohn for that. Yeah. We don't know if that play would have been successful.
Watch the All-22. It looked like he was going to get yardage. Maybe big yardage.
Second, to me, is second and one from the 12. Mayfield. Yeah. Is going up the middle. I don't know what Mayfield's doing on that play. You can't waste it down there. You just can't. And then, of course, losing 2 yards with the bad snap. Now, Gruden says they got cued on the bad snap. Is that true, Lee? I mean, Barton screwed up. Why is that getting cute? I don't understand.
Well, I think he was the hard count is what he said was getting cute.
Either it was correct? Mayfield or Bowles. I don't remember. If they might have been both. Mentioned that they were trying to draw him off there. I think it was Mayfield, and so they had a hard count going and that whole process, and Barton snapped it. That's why the whole O-line didn't move. So, you know, that's Gruden saying, just snap the freaking ball.
He's right on that.
And Lee, tying the game up instead of having a 4-point lead and Washington getting the ball with 4:41 left or whatever, that's a whole different ball game because now the Commanders need a touchdown. Now they need a touchdown, not a field goal, and they're behind. Changes everything.
And the Bucs had stopped them twice on fourth down.
Now, Steve, if to be fair, if you wanted to pick a fourth play, I would pick the fourth down touchdown pass from Daniels.
Okay, yeah, in the middle of the end zone.
The Bucs should not give that up on a goal line stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's fair.
That favors the defense. And, you know, McLaurin's very good.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good.
Better than I thought.
But he had too much time on that pass, Steve. You've seen it 27 times, Daniels. He was not hurried on that pass because it was a slow-developing play for McLaurin. Who I believe was flanked to the left.
You got
he had too much time on that, and that's on the defense.
You got Josh Hayes in the game, which is...
Well, Ira, I think you'll laugh when I say this. You always needle me about this, but you brought it up Monday or Sunday night. Lee, how many times are you going to say too much time? And you're right.
And, Steve, to throw this out, and I need you guys to weigh in on this, because I'll weigh in on it first. Yaya Diaby on Austin Ekeler. You know, Austin Ekeler... is an outstanding receiver out of the backfield. He always has been with the Chargers.
Yes,
The guy used to score 20 touchdowns. He used to get like 8 on the ground and 12 in the air.
Didn't lead the league 1 year in touchdowns?
Yeah, he was a touchdown machine with the Chargers. He's not a great running back with the ball.
Mediocre.
He's not. But, boy, he can catch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always talking about Rashad White and Irving, who are very good.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's right there with them. I don't understand Yaya Diaby. What's going on there, Lee? I don't understand it.
You're singing my song, Ira. You're singing my song. But you know what?
That's the guy that you got to focus on is Ekeler coming out of the backfield.
You
focus on McLaurin and Ekeler. Those are your guys.
Well, I just thought of something. Just spur of the moment, I just thought of this. Is KJ Britt so rotten at pass defense that Yaya is just as good, if not better? I don't know.
I mean, the Bucs play that way all the time. He's supposed to have some support that's over there first. You know, he didn't make the play. Just like Kancey had a couple opportunities for real big plays in this game.
He made
didn't
some.
Make the play. He made some. I mean, they weren't, you know, they weren't awful out there, but those two guys specifically. But look at Kancey on the So a third and two, I believe.
I can't kill Kancey,
no,
Steve.
But he had a chance.
It's Daniels. He had a chance.
He got stiff-armed. And
all he ended up with was the towel.
The towel. The towel. I still can't shake the towel.
That's a classic image.
Classic. He's running around with the towel.
Now, Kancey got, if I remember correctly, on the drive where the Bucs stopped him on fourth down, the possession before the dreaded botched handoff, didn't Kancey get a tackle for loss for like 3 yards?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And he, even opening drive, he had a chance at a sack. He got away from him.
You know, Lee, to me, and this might be a little simplistic, I think Kancey is my number one reason for optimism going forward about the Buck defense.
He's up there.
Cornerstone.
He's pretty good. He's good.
You know, and Vita Vea is not getting any younger. Still
correct.
A good player.
Steve Austin points
out. Kancey's the guy going forward that can make things happen for this defense.
I don't
if
disagree.
If he's healthy, like you always say.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And so far, 2 years in the NFL, 2 years he missed time to start the season, 2 years he got hurt in training camp.
You know, and just like Gerald McCoy, I'm not interested in saying he's not Warren Sapp. Kancey is a very good football player and a hell of a draft pick by Light.
Let me go back to the second one and then the failed third down. Even more important in some ways right there is if the Bucs get the first down, the chewing up of the clock.
That's right.
Right there.
That's
that
right.
Changes the whole dynamic. Washington might have started using their timeouts there.
That's
we
right.
Don't really know. So that was huge. I'm not taking the defense off the hook. I wanted to put what Gruden put out there because, you know, it's another way to look at it, and it is reality. You know, Mayfield had this incredible completion percentage, and I still rewatching the game a couple of times, still look at that first drive and McMillan dropping a ball that he's staring
yep.
at right in his hands. That's a kick in the balls that you can't do in the playoffs.
I can't say the defense played well, Lee, but I don't think they were awful.
They weren't terrible. They didn't get the job done, but you're right. Gruden is not the only ex-Super Bowl winning coach to bring up these points. Take guess who else talked about it Monday?
Cowher?
Bill Belichick. He was on McAfee's show, which he often is, and he's like, you know, I feel terrible for the Bucs.
Shouldn't he be working at UNC? What's he doing?
He's under contract with McAfee.
All right, what did he say about
the And that's
the
a good recruiting tool, by the way.
What did he say?
Felt bad for him. He said that was a winnable game and mistakes. Like he said, everybody talks about mistakes in the playoffs. Well, this I'm paraphrasing here. This is Exhibit A. Mistakes in the playoff are huge. And by the way, Belichick didn't say this. Chucky didn't say this. But I'll say this. What's the common denominator with both those two plays you talked about? The hard count and the botched handoff. What's the common denominator?
The quarterback and fundamentals.
You're partially right on the first one. You may be right on both.
Barton? No.
Bowen?
Barton and the timing of the snap?
Keep going.
And the rhythm of the play?
I'll finish it. Rookies. Barton's a rookie. McMillan's a rookie.
Maybe rookies. McMillan took a wrong angle. That's
yeah,
right.
You know, Mayfield, he took the bullet in the blocker, and McMillan said, well, you know, we just weren't on the same page. But Mayfield, being the leader he's supposed to be, there's your word, leaders.
That's
you know,
right.
He took the bullet, and it's very possible McMillan may have screwed up. Now, there's some guy I never heard of before until very recently. The stat geeks love him, and I started following him on the Doom TikTok. Assholes.
Not Greg Cosell. You like Greg Cosell.
Oh, yeah. Greg Cosell's awesome. But this guy pointed out, and he had clips from past plays. First off, he said jet sweeps for the Bucs almost always work with Cone. Whatever it is, he does really well with those. And he had an example of the worst jet sweep the Bucs had. 2 yard gain by Godwin for a first down.
It has been an effective play.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
anyway,
on the
play in question, the botched handoff, he showed a clip. He said Mayfield was using two hands to hand it off. And all the other jet sweeps, this guy had
one hand.
One hand.
Interesting.
I don't know why that was, but I just thought that was interesting.
Sage, you talked about Kancey, so let me take you here. Vea, Kancey, Logan Hall combined for 20 sacks this season. Not a lot of people have that on their bingo card.
Bowles is really talking up Logan Hall over there. He likes him.
Look, you would too if you didn't have an edge rush.
Hey, the run defense was good, and the guy had found 5.5 sacks. Hey, nobody expected that, so... Good for him. He's not going to be confused with a Pro Bowler.
I just don't remember Hall making that many impact plays. Lee, I don't.
I agree with you, but you know why he's talking up Hall? The more he tucks up Hall, the less you think about no edge rush.
Hey, I got a question.
Anyway, wait.
Right,
they combined for 20 sacks. Bowles said on his radio show he thought Kancey belonged in the Pro Bowl. He didn't want to take anything away from Vea, but he said that unit was fantastic. If you think about it, they got four more sacks from the backups, 24 sacks. From the defensive tackles is a ridiculous number, you know, in NFL circles for sure, especially with all the blitzing that they have. That is, as you said, you were talking about Kancey, but that is the strength of the team. What I really want to know, what kills me, and it kills Lee, What kills me is, man, if they did get their hands on a quality edge rusher, what would that guy do, and what would it look like with those two guys in there?
Thank you.
We don't know.
It would look fantastic. That's what it would look like.
I'll give you an example.
Because let's admit it, but Bowles can be creative. If the guy's got a lot of skills, a la Shaq Barrett, he can
JPP.
Unleash him. JPP.
I'll give you an example of what it will look like. Now, I don't know if it's going to look this good, but this is just a taste, a morsel, an appetizer. I think it was roughly 1998, 99 maybe. Bucks didn't have any edge rush, but they had an excellent defense. Then they went out and got Simeon Rice, and what happened?
You're thinking of 99, a hell of 99. A defense. Hell of a defense.
And then they go out and get Simeon Rice
That's
on
right.
top of it.
That's right.
Boom.
All right, I got a question, gentlemen.
You're the one. It's your podcast.
I know.
You
I'm
going
to answer
you.
The question and then throw it out to you guys.
So you have a statement, is what you're saying.
Yeah, okay, a statement.
could Washington's performance in Motown in the next round have any effect at all about the way Buck fans are looking at Sunday night's loss? And by that I mean, if the Commanders go in and either pull off a major upset of the top seed or play them very competitively, like the Bucks did a year ago, does that in any way, now, Lee, I'm going to throw in the $10 word. I think it's right.
Leaders?
Ameliorate? Ameliorate.
Ooh, you got to define that one.
I
don't think I've ever heard
that
one.
Does it ameliorate the despondency and the sadness of losing to Washington Sunday night? And Steve, by looking at you, I know your answer is a big fat absolutely not. It was a winnable game, and they should have beat the Commanders.
First of all, ameliorate definition is probably lessen the effects. You're dead wrong, though, Ira, because I 110% believe that it would affect a lot of Bucks fans' opinions of the Bucks.
Because
not all of them, but a percentage of them be like, whoa.
Lee, at that point, could you say, hey, Washington's got a hell of a team,
sure.
and they beat us? Or that's not the way Buck fans look at things.
Some would.
Some would, but what do we always – sports media in general, what is the fans short for? Fanatics. And the people that are coming after me into a lesser degree, much lesser degree, Steve, they love to come after me. I'm the most hated man in Tampa Bay. The way they come after me about, they claim I'm sticking up for Bowles, I'm defending Bowles. I'm like, well, the guy has a better record every year. I mean, as the Glazers would say, arrow pointing up, and man, I get killed for that. It's
well,
like it never
some
happened.
People would say 10 wins last year, 10 wins this year. No, one playoff win last year, none this year. You know, I think a lot of people
would consider.
I was looking
at just regular season.
Sure, but I also look at the regular season as they tanked the last game. They would have been 9-8.
All right, let me go to the heart of the matter.
It would have been 9-8 in 2022 if Brady played.
I've had enough of this Panera Bread coffee to stimulate me, and I'm now going to get to the heart of the matter.
Well, you're going home now with
no,
your wife?
This is the essential point. This is the essential point of the Buck off season.
Uh-oh, more stimulation?
Did the Bucks defense underperform under Bowles' direction in 2024, or are there too many holes on that defense in terms of talent and that roster on that side of the ball needs a lot of help and it's not that talented?
Both.
That is the essential
both.
Point. And I think that's a tough call.
I think it's both.
Injuries are a factor. Depth is a factor. But I didn't like the way some of the schemes were. I think they were too passive. I go back to that game in Atlanta.
Oh.
And I was there. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Kirk Cousins, you can have anything you want as long as it's in front of us. I don't like that defensive philosophy, Lee, and I don't think it works, Steve, particularly on a team that's not a good tackling team like the Bucks. I think it blew up in their faces most of the year, that soft zone
soft.
Coverage. But I don't think there's great talent on this defense throughout.
We got a lot to talk about there, and there's a few very important points to make. But I'll let Lee fire away first, but I want to finish the last point, which was if Detroit beats Washington 35-14. I think Bucks fans will.
That's
all,
the other
that's
side.
That's the
of
other
it.
Side of it. They'll be like, "Damn it, we beat Detroit." You know, this Washington.
Look
is
how
a
they handle
flash in the pan.
Washington.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I see both sides of that coin, but I kind of lean towards Steve. You know, the Bucks beat Detroit. Granted, it was the second week of the season, but Bucks fans are like, "What the hell? We beat Detroit at Detroit, and this blankety blank team." The Redskins, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of lean towards Steve, but I see both sides.
What about this defense and talent overall on that side of the ball?
Well, here's the point I always make. You pick the name of the defensive coach, whomever, and you say, here's what I can give you. Two stud defensive tackles. I can give you a borderline Hall of Fame linebacker. I can give you an all-pro safety. And I can give you a corner who was third in the league in pass defenses. Can you work with that? I don't know of one decent coach that would say, no, I can't work with that.
Can you be elite? No.
They don't need to be elite. They just need to be half-assed.
What if I came at you this way? Your all-pro safety is going to be injured, and when he's not injured, he doesn't do anything. Number two, your other safety had a bad year. Number three, you got no linebacker other than your potential Hall of Famer. And number four, you don't have a natural pass rusher on the damn roster. You don't have one.
What time of year are we talking?
Are those fair points, Steve?
Yeah, yes, but what time of year is this conversation taking place? Is it taking place right now? Because those holes can be fixed.
They have holes, Steve. They
those
got holes.
Those holes between now and April can be fixed.
All right, Sage. Lee asked Todd Bowles about Winfield on Monday. As far as
you had a better follow-up.
And I asked him Sunday night about Winfield.
And I quickly followed up saying, was he healthy after week one? Bowles' answer was, I can't answer that. Well, that's a big fat no.
That is.
So that's a big deal right there. Now, Christian Izian had a strong year. He's the number three safety. He had some really good games. He was fantastic against Detroit with the pick and passes defense and some big plays.
But he's not in Winfield.
His last game when he got hurt.
I think he led everybody in tackles.
Izian, 13 combined tackles, 9 solo tackles. They lost him as well. So, and then I have to go back to week one. The number three cornerback on this team, a guy with a lot of experience, a good man corner, Bryce Hall, he lost with a major injury first game. Now, shame on Jason Light and those guys for not finding a replacement. They had some cap room, but they did try.
So you're making my point that Bowles was handicapped.
But he was a little bit handicapped. Now, some of that goes back to Bowles, like Lee talked about many times. Vi Jones, he's been here a year. He's not ready to play yet as a backup inside linebacker. KJ Britt, somebody screwed up the evaluation on him.
Where's Watts? Where's the other guy?
And, the edge rushers, they didn't improve.
Did Detroit have as many injuries on defense as the Bucs?
Yes.
Aaron Glenn found a way to shut down Sam Darnold. Now, I know it's Sam Darnold, but still, he's in the NFL. Still, he had 14 wins under his belt.
They put a lot of heat on Darnold that game.
Jeez.
A ton of heat.
Jeez.
A ton of heat. Aiden Hutchinson.
They found a way, so,
Now, Detroit's defense wasn't great this year. It wasn't great.
Wasn't terrible.
I mean, they usually overwhelm teams with their offense, usually.
Yeah.
But it wasn't bad either. It was better than the Bucs.
Better than the Bucs.
And I'm not making excuses for Bowles, Ira, but there are significant injuries, and some screw-ups, and the scheme. Like Bowles was on his radio show talking about how he liked how McCollum played more aggressive late in the year. And he liked, some of the more aggressive things that were going on later in the year. It's like, well, aggression is not something that is talent. Aggression is a mindset, attitude, coaching. Be aggressive.
It's an approach.
Or you're getting off the field.
It's an approach.
Right. Exactly. So Bowles is so terrified of being burned deep that I think he got in these guys' heads. And I don't know what fixes that, but if he's talking about how much he loved aggression, then you wouldn't see all this soft.
This defense was not aggressive in 2024, Lee.
Correct.
I think that's fair.
2 years ago, the Bucs finished fourth worst in average passing yards allowed. The bottom five teams, including the Bucs, all four of them had shakeups on defense, whether it was a new head coach or whether it was a new defensive coordinator. One of those teams was Cincinnati. They just got rid of Lou Amarillo. Amoreno, I think that was more sacrificial lamb than anything. They had to blame somebody.
But so, that was 2 years ago, the stat.
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Only Cincinnati did not make the playoffs this year. Of those five teams, only Cincinnati did not make the playoffs.
And the other ones made changes.
They made changes. The worst defense of those five teams 2 years ago, the worst defense in 2024 of those five teams was Cincinnati at 20. And the Bucs were 28th both years. And the Bucs added talent. They added Jordan Whitehead. They made McCollum a starter.
And drafted Tyke Smith.
They added talent. And
the Buck pass defense was the big culprit of 2024. The run defense was stout.
Excellent.
In Bowles' meeting with the Glazer family, do you think one of the Glazers are going to bring up Todd, just 2 years in a row, 28th worst pass defense, average per game? Do you need to make some staff changes?
I think they have to have that conversation.
Now, somebody asked Bowles that Monday. He didn't say no. He's like, well, we haven't gotten there yet. These are very good coaches. But, he's not afraid to make a change on offense.
That is a conversation that needs to happen.
Yeah.
And if it hasn't happened already, I think it will.
Now, I believe they're on their third or fourth outside linebackers coach since Bowles took over.
Yeah, that's really done well.
So he's made changes there, but it is an important conversation. I got a very important conversation. We have to talk about Jamel Dean and dig a little deeper on the talent. Todd Bowles we have to talk about as well, because there's a lot of weird crap going on out there about Bowles and his future. All right, Sage, look, Jamel Dean is part of this.
How much longer?
He's a polarizing...
For how much longer is...
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. So he's a polarizing figure. Now, he was a very polarizing figure. I'm going to take fans on a flashback here on this podcast. So when it was time to re-sign Jamel Dean before the 2023 season, Lee was very adamant. Sign this guy. He's a good player. He had a good year. You don't let a good corner walk. I was like, I wouldn't pay him as much because he's not that great. He's good, but we need him, but I don't know. And you were sort of in between, but supportive of Dean. However, you heard at One Buck Palace, you were told there's dissension in the ranks among the coaches and the executives as to whether Dean is worth re-signing. And nobody else had that information, but you did. So here we are. Now, I asked Todd Bowles at the Combine, 2023 Combine. Lee and I were there. You were on speakerphone, Ira, and we interviewed Bowles. And I said to Todd, I said, you know, Jamel Dean, you know, he's been a source of angst on this podcast. Lee loves the guy. Bring him back. I'm kind of on the fence.
Ira's in between. Yeah.
And when I said I'm on the fence, you know, I think he may not be worth the big money, Bowles' face was, he made a face like, what are you talking about? And now they re-signed him to the big money. He's here. He's brittle.
No.
But it's not like he's lost a ton of games, but he's been brittle.
At the very least, he's brittle.
He's fallen out the last two playoff games with injuries. But if you go back to the home playoff game against Dallas in after the 2022 season, home playoff game, he did not start because he was banged up and they went with Sean Murphy Bunting. And he played a little on special teams and that was it. So he's missed key games. Now he's due $10.5 million next year. So I'm going to just put my foot down, Ira. I'm going to say that I would like to see Dean back. I think he's ripe for a contract renegotiation because no one's going to trade for him at that salary, in my opinion. And if they cut him, he's not going to get that kind of money. So I think he's ripe. He's very tight with Todd Bowles. Dean was on the Buccaneers radio network about a month ago, acknowledging, hey, Bowles and I are tighter than anybody on the team. We're super tight, super close. I'm sure Bowles would love to have him back, but I think they could get him on the cheap. I would do it, not maybe half price. What do you think?
I think he's a nice third corner. How do you like that, Lee? He's a third corner. Bowles has a lot of confidence in him. Bowles is always talking up Dean. I don't see it, and I'll tell you why, Lee.
Interceptions.
Because by now it is evident, and it's not going to change. It is evident that Dean lacks a fundamental, in my opinion, quality that I want in my corners.
Interceptions.
Ball skills.
Oh,
he doesn't
really
have any ball skills, Lee.
Okay.
He doesn't have any ball skills. Once in a while, he's in the neighborhood of the intended target. He never picks off a ball, Lee.
No.
He never does. And we were talking about the lack of aggression on the Buck defense, and somebody said, oh, how can you say that? How can you say that? I'll tell you how I can say it. Seven picks. Seven picks in 18 games tells me, in no uncertain terms, this is not an aggressive defense. Seven picks, that's absurd. That is unacceptable. And you know who agrees with that? Bowles. Bowles, I think, is embarrassed about seven interceptions. He's got to sit down with Ed Glazer in the next week and try to explain seven picks in 18 games? What the hell's going on out there, Bowles? And I'd like to know what his answer for that is. He thinks that they had a lot of opportunities. I don't. I don't think they had a lot of opportunities to pick Bowles off.
What is Bowles more embarrassed about? That Dean doesn't get picks? Or that his defense got roasted by Kirk Cousins for 500 yards?
I don't think you get over those two Atlanta games. Two of them. Especially seeing how Cousins performed after those games.
I'll use a 1950s term. Not that I ever saw the 1950s, but it will warm the cockles of my heart if Bowles comes out and say, I was so embarrassed by the 500 yards, we can fix the interceptions. I want to hear that.
I've seen x-rays of your heart. You don't have any cockles back there. Steve, I'm not a Dean guy. Make him your third corner.
Here's what I'll say about Dean. I think he's decent, maybe good, but, and here's where I run out of rope with the guy. When you need him, he's not on the field. If the Bucs decide to keep him, if the Bucs rework his contract, they must have a quality corner ready to step on the field because Jamel Dean will get
Steve
hurt.
Steve says they do, and the guy got hurt.
Well, he did. He was okay in training camp, but this spooked the hell out of me. He was so damn handsy. I wrote it two or three times. He was so handsy.
From the Jets, right, Steve?
Yeah, Bryce Hall.
This guy was a walking holding call waiting to happen. The PFF tribe, they talked about getting this Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame, cornerback. Damn good. I would love to have seen him play Monday night against these grown-ass men at Ohio State have for receivers, but the guy's hurt. He's going to have hip surgery. Maybe he's a second-round pick as a result. But this guy's good. He sort of shut down Marvin Harrison. He's a corner. Maybe they get a bargain and get him in a second round because of this surgery. I still think they need inside linebackers a whole lot more than corners. But regardless, Benjamin Morrison, Benjamin Harrison, I don't care. The Bucs need a corner to be ready to dominate on the field when Jamel Dean gets hurt. And again, he will get hurt.
I know a lot of fans they're done with Dean, which I get it. I get it. And maybe the Bucs are too. They might very well be too. Though, unless they feel they can get a quality corner in free agency, is going to hamstring them in the draft.
Yes.
I'm not sure Jason Light wants to be, forced essentially to get a rookie corner. The seven picks you're talking about, terrible number. Bowles was asked about it on his season-ending radio show. And he said, guys got to be more aggressive. Got to go get the ball. 11 teams had more than double that interception number.
Wow.
And the crazy stat is the Vikings, and it lets you know that maybe they were more fluky than we thought, and it's something they probably can't duplicate. They had a ridiculous 24 interceptions.
McKinney had six, I think.
24 interceptions. That's crazy. A good number.
And they lost Danielle Hunter in free agency. That's a hell of a
performance. How'd he do with Houston?
He did okay.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Hey, better than JTS.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
He's out. He's gone. Unless they're going to try to make him an inside linebacker. If they want to play project with him and make him an inside linebacker. And he might actually be good at that. Get rid of him.
Now, I want to say this too, Lee. In the wake of a trashing Dean and his future.
I'm not trashing him.
I like Zion McCollum. I like him a lot.
Yeah, his first year?
I think he's on the brink of being a premier corner.
Wow.
I like this guy.
Well, for his first year starting, he did damn well.
Steve, they got something to build around, but they need more. McCollum's the number one guy on this team in terms of shadowing guys.
Yeah, and I think the important thing to remember about McCollum is that, as far as this context that we're talking about, is the Bucs developed him. They developed him.
That's a great point.
As a raw fifth-round pick. And
an athletic raw.
By his third year, he was
As opposed to developing or not developing edge rushers.
No, don't get me
wrong. They have developed McCollum.
And they developed Dean as a late third-round pick as well.
And
so
Davis.
I'm not too worried about a rookie cornerback, but I wouldn't want to see a project like McCollum was if they're going to try to replace
one-on-one. You got any faith in Servassier Dennis?
No.
No.
I knocked Dean for being hurt, but somebody on Twitter, and he referred to him as hurt Vassier Dennis.
Didn't he flash some plays when he played?
Oh, yeah, when he played, he looked good. But what, two games a year?
Another thing that I think is going to doom Dean or could is that he turns 29 next season.
Yep.
So is he going to get better?
He is what he is.
He
is what he is.
Phil Simms said, you don't get quicker as you get older, and you don't get healthier as you get older.
And you don't recover as fast when
that's for sure, yeah.
That's for sure.
Dean tackles, though. He does tackle. So I'll give him that. All right.
And then he gets hurt. He tackles, then you got to help him up the field.
All right, Ira, Todd Bowles. Now, this is important because it's top of mind for Bucs fans, and there's some things going on that we have to dive deeper into.
What's your new poll show, Stevie? What's it show?
We got a new poll. We have some new information as well, I guess, to express anyway, to make sure it's out there. But I do want to remind everybody that Bill Curry Ford, they've got tremendous offers going on. GM Sean Sullivan, he's ready to help you personally. The Ira Kaufman discount's in effect. 2024 Mustang Mach-E models, Ira. 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus $2,500 bonus cash available.
Does that go from 0 to 60 in like a half a second or something?
That's a lot faster than your cherry red Ford Escape.
That's a lot of car, Lee. That's a lot of car.
Check out all the offers right there, BillCurryFord.com. Now, Todd Bowles. So we run our weekly confidence poll, Ira. Run it on Wednesdays or Thursdays.
And it does tend to fluctuate, Steve, with how the team did the week before.
And it's a very tight window on the poll because we can get a great sample size in a tight window because people actually visit our website.
In a short period of time.
Right, as opposed to other websites. And Also, I don't want $1 rallying their 100 employees to do some weird things because you know how.
Did you catch?
Years ago. But yeah, no manipulation. We got some controls in there. We have an expensive polling system that stops your IP addresses. We do.
Yeah, but think about this. Someone gave an order at $1 to flood the ballot box.
Well, that shows respect for Joe Buck's man.
So, bottom line, Ira, let's forget the poll for a second. I'll give
you. You're still in a Christmas mood?
Yeah.
We got Wednesday's poll results, but Ira...
That's my phone, baby. I'm going to change it. Now I got to change it. All right.
Anyway, so Todd Bowles, a lot of fans are going crazy, and it's being fueled by other media that is telling Bucks fans on social media otherwise that, watch out. He could be getting axed here. This is how the Glazers operate. I think it's really important to recognize that the Glazers are a completely different ownership group from where they were in 2009. They're much more mature, much more experienced.
Less impulsive.
Far less impulsive, and there's no... Now they like the culture. They ended on a high note. They won 6 out of 7. There's back then in 2009, there was no salary cap floor. The Glazers wanted to save money.
They own the division.
They have a franchise quarterback now, whereas back then they wanted to develop a new guy and start a new path with John Gruden. He didn't want to do that. It's like the polar opposite of back then. And we know, Ira, that they feel good about where they are
now,
with next year being a all-in year.
Now, Steve, having said that, we must acknowledge, Lee, according to the poll, from what I saw, 2/3 of the voters have little or no confidence in Todd Bowles.
64%.
Is that going to sway the Glazers? I don't think so. It all depends on how much confidence they have in Todd Bowles. And Steve made a big point, Lee, the culture. The culture's solid. The players want to play for this guy. This ain't Greg Schiano.
Or Lovey, for that matter.
And he doesn't fraternize with the players a la Raheem. So they don't
to a degree.
They don't have that kind of factor.
He hangs out with him at $1 and
orders out food. But he's not going to the Anchor Bar.
No. He's not going out the light nightclubs and stuff. No.
Look, I understand the dissatisfaction. We all understand it.
Oh, absolutely.
The year ended on a very disillusioning note. In a game, in the words of Steve, is right. A winnable game.
Absolutely.
Against a winnable opponent. They didn't play well. They didn't play well enough to win that game, Lee. I got no problem saying the Commanders deserve to win that game.
I agree.
And just like Dallas deserved to win that game, and Mike Evans said it in the locker room after the game. They were more aggressive, they were more physical, and they deserved it. Lee, I think the thing that's got to be answered to a certain extent is, why weren't they ready to play in some of these first halves of these games?
That's very fair question.
Is very troubling.
That's troubling and a fair question. That's not out of bounds.
That's 3 times, I believe, in the last 4 games that occurred.
Dallas, the Slimy Saints, and Sunday night. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I know many Bucks fans, they went Bowles' head on a platter. I still believe you would have told Bucks fans before the season the Bucks could win 10 games, they'd be buying shots for Bowles. Now they went his head on a platter. Am I crazy to think, now you know the Glazer family much better than I do, much better than I do. You other owners, you know, I know you embrace with Roger Goodell when you see him. Artie Blank and you are bosom buddies. You know them all, just about. Is it fair to say owners look at division titles totally different than fans? Is that fair to say, you think?
They love division titles. They love that home playoff game.
And fans do not.
And fans don't care about the revenues of an extra game or whatever.
Dense Me just thought of that today. You think that's... Am I off base?
No, you're not off base.
Well, let me throw this out. You can look it up. Playoff revenue for tickets all goes to the NFL. There's no split. It's a unique situation. Owners have complained about it. It's been well written. Now, they still get all the concessions, so it's money.
Parking.
But, parking concessions. But, relatively speaking, it's not a lot of money compared to, 50,000 seats at collecting a hat.
But it's prestige. It is
prestige. Yeah. I'm just saying it's less money than a regular game.
There will be talks between Bowles and management. That's just the way it is. Light's going to be in the middle of it. And Light has indicated that he thinks Bowles did a very good job this year, Steve.
Light's been very public. And that's what the people who are trying to will Todd Bowles
and
to
drive
be out
a
of
wedge
here.
Between Light and Bowles.
Well, I don't know if they're trying to do that. But yeah. I mean, I don't know. But.
Light, before the game, Ira, before the game, he was on with Gene Deckerhoff. And they were talking about the season. And Light was very, very clear. He said, quote, the coaching was great. That's what he said. Great. I didn't make it up. He says it's a good time to be a Buck. We're doing a lot of great things. The entire organization, a lot of stability has helped. Obviously, great players, great coaching.
Does that sound like a GM that wants to get rid of the head coach?
After a field goal doink loss, you know?
We said it before.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Unless someone's suggesting lights lying out of his ass, and I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't think
so. You're saying he might say something different in private? Possibly.
Yeah, but would he be that over the top if he knew Bowles was done?
By the way.
Let me say this because it's important because a lot of fans want to know, you know, they think we're holding Bowles' water and we're afraid of Bowles. I would fire Bowles tomorrow if I thought I had a better coach. But I don't know who that is. I don't know if that guy's available. And to me, that guy's not Liam Cohen because I'm not sure. How many great offensive coordinators just, you know, don't cut it as a head coach?
For example, if Belichick was on open-minded to come to Tampa Bay, you'd be by Todd bringing
for me? If he was willing to keep Liam Cohen, I would do it.
Mm.
Sure.
Who's that?
If Belichick was willing to keep Liam Cohen, I would do it.
Which, if you believe Florio, the man is still available.
But I have no problem sticking with Todd. I think they can make some changes. And you've said this. We've talked about this off this podcast. He's entering next season on a major hot seat. Is that correct, Ira?
He is. And I think no matter what happens in the offseason, Lee, with free agency and the draft and plugging holes on defense, I think as a general rule, Bowles must adopt a more aggressive stance on defense. This aggressive thing about not getting beat over the top, that can't be your number one priority.
Well, I'm going to say
your priority, shut their ass down.
I'm tired of saying it, but here it is. They ain't going to do a damn thing unless they find an edge rusher. You can dig your feet in the dirt as deep as you want. Until you come to the realization that you need an edge rush, it's like an alcoholic. Until you say you need help, you won't get help.
You know, you know how much better the secondary is going to look if they apply consistent pressure, Steve, and keep quarterbacks under duress? Look what they did against Cousins. Twice. He can't move. Yet he had a comfortable pocket. No duress and go through his progression.
These people at $1 need to go to Edge Rushers Anonymous. They need to confess.
You have been supremely consistent on this, Lee. Supremely.
I mean, all I know is good teams have an edge rusher. All I know is in the Bucks franchise history, they had a solid edge rush. Merry Christmas, Ira. They had a solid edge rush 3 times in their franchise history.
It won't pick up. It's fine.
Oh.
3 times in their franchise history, they had a dangerous pass rush. And the worst that team did was an NFC title game. Leroy Salmon, Simeon Rice, JPP/Shaq. What am I missing?
Do you give Bowles any credit for hiring Canales and Liam Cohn?
Yes.
Steve, does that count?
Sure. He got to the playoffs with 2 first-year offensive coordinators. I don't know of any other coaches that could even say that. I'd have to look it up.
Also, winning the division your first 3 years.
And he picked them.
But it's going to be the same song and dance again. I'm sure they want to go try to get a quality edge rusher. Nobody's, in free agency. They'll have some money. They can make more money by extending Mike Evans, and we'll get into that next podcast with the offense and stuff. They could extend Tristan Wirfs now, they could extend Luke Goedeke now if they wanted to. There's things that they can do to create even more room, but you're going to hear it, Ira. We're going to hear it at the combine, I'm sure. Bucks were 6th in the NFL, tied for 6th in sacks this year.
Is that because I'm bitching about it all the time?
That doesn't mean the pressure was consistent.
I know that doesn't mean that they can get 4-man pressure. Doesn't mean that having Anthony Nelson or Tryon out there as a starter is something any other team would do as an edge rusher.
They still blitz their ass off, too.
Sure.
Out of necessity. Out of necessity.
Now, last thing on the defense, Ira, and then we'll get out of here unless you got more to say. You got more to say, Ira?
Well, I always do, Steve.
Right. We can always count on you for that. I asked Bowles about Tyke Smith. Last 5 games, he doesn't have a big play. And he made a lot of big plays before that. So I asked Bowles, rookie wall? He was like, no, absolutely not rookie wall. Tyke Smith had a great season. He said offenses were going away from Tyke Smith because of how well he was playing. What's your thought there?
Tyke Smith showed me enough, Lee, this season to say that he's going to be a really good player. He's not polished yet. He's not complete yet.
Mm-hmm.
Give him another year under Bowles. I'd like to see him being used as a blitzer. I don't know. I think he can blitz effectively, but I don't think he was used very often. And Winfield wasn't on the field enough for him to be effective as a blitzer, which he is. He's not Rondé Barber, but he's good. I am very curious to see this offseason because I'll tell you why, and Steve mentioned it. They're not locked into looking for a quarterback, and I think that makes a tremendous difference in the offseason. So many of these teams, how am I going to get a quarterback? Can I draft one? Do I have to take Kirk Cousins? On the rebound.
Like the Raiders?
Yeah, like the Raiders. They got the sixth pick. The top two quarterbacks could be off the board. Cam Ward and the Sanders.
And I'm going to give you a very interesting example. Minnesota wins 14 games. And what's the big talk in Minnesota right now? We need a quarterback. What are we going to do at quarterback? We got a rookie who never took a snap. And we got...
What an ending for Darnold. What a terrible ending for Darnold.
Think about that. You win
four sacks like that. I was even yelling at the TV.
You win 14 games, and the conversation is, what do we do at quarterback?
Now they got to let him test the market. They're not going to empty the bank for Sam Darnold at this point.
By the way, who pushed for Baker Mayfield?
You.
No.
Bowles, Arians?
Todd Bowles.
Yeah, both of them. Yeah.
Todd Bowles pushed for Baker Mayfield. He hired two good offensive coordinators. He got a franchise quarterback. I don't know how in deep Jason Light was, but Light admits that Bowles was hounding him to go get Baker Mayfield. So I know fans are frustrated.
There's intangibles for Bowles.
Did he do a great job this year? Hell no.
I can hear fans saying that. Push him up to the personnel department and get him off the sideline.
That's fair. But, you know, you win more games every year. You improve every year, even though the playoffs, you know, stunk. You won a division your first 3 years. That's rare. Well, I can see the positives, and I can certainly see the negatives.
One more quick point, Steve. And I think you're with me on this.
Is this about mold?
You win a
Monsignor of mold.
See, you win a playoff game, it builds a little cushion for you.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And rightfully so.
And now, that's not the case.
No cushion. No cushion for Todd Bowles.
Yeah. Imagine the change of conversation across this area if the Bowles would have won, you know, in overtime. In overtime,
big,
they would have won.
Big difference.
Oh, my gosh. No one would be screaming. Well, there would be some, but the tone would be much less.
And they just knocked off a 12-win Commanders team. Bravo.
Absolutely. Ira, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. That's your first phone call if you have any disaster at your property, fire, flood, mold, storm damage, and you are the water damage whisperer. I like it. I'm
the Monsignor of mold.
Am I the only one sitting at this table that's very much looking forward to the Baltimore-Buffalo game? I think that's a
I'm just not a Ravens fan. I can't get excited about that because I don't like watching the Ravens.
It's two elite teams going at it.
Yeah, oh, you're right. They're two
He's
elite
not a
teams.
Lamar Jackson I just fan. I don't get it.
Dodging. Got a lot to prove in the playoffs. Steve.
He does, but you know what always happens. And Lee does it. I hear a lot of people do. I'm not picking on Lee, but Lamar, you got to give a quarterback credit for getting you the number one seed in a first round bye. That's almost a playoff win to get there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's something. It can't just be dismissed. He's done that twice.
And Lee, if he won a third MVP, honestly speaking, people really couldn't argue against it. I mean, if you want Josh Allen, fine. I voted for Allen. But if people wanted to vote for Jackson, I wouldn't argue with them.
No, I couldn't argue with that. I just don't like the Ravens. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's ugly ass uniforms. I don't know. It's something
about
the Ravens.
Too aggressive, too physical. You're not used to that around here, Lee?
There's something about them. I don't know what it is. I just don't like watching them.
I might go to the movies again this weekend, Stevie.
Well Sage,
I'm not going to go see that steamy erotic thriller, Baby Girl.
You already did.
I've already seen it. But I think there's a movie called September 5th, and journalists should go out and see it.
All right, Sage, look, we've got another podcast coming up, probably Monday, maybe, something like that.
We're staying with this.
We'll see what happens with Liam Cohen. One thing that we'll address in the next podcast, just to tease you, Ira, because I want to bring it up. Thad Lewis, quarterback's coach both years, last 2 years. He's Arians' guy as well, so he's got the connection all the way through. And he's a Duke graduate, just like Graham Barton, right? We say he's a super smart guy. Listening to other NFL podcasts, I hear Ryan Fitzpatrick waxing about his buddy Thad Lewis and how smart he is and all this other stuff. Is it really so far-fetched to think that if Cohen leaves, Lewis can't handle the offense with such a tight relationship with his quarterback?
I think it's a 50-50 split at that point between Thad Lewis and Jackie Davidson. there you go.
Yes or no? Bowles is safer with Cohen or less safe without Cohen? Let's say Cohen gets the Jags job.
Less vulnerable.
Yeah, he's way less vulnerable.
Less vulnerable.
They're not going to blow up the whole culture like that.
Yeah, you don't want to replace.
Well, the fans sure want that.
They won't do it. All right, Ira, be good.